This is the Speak for Yourself podcast. I am your host, Jason McIntyre. What a Friday show to take everybody into July and the start of NBA free agency. But we're also talking NFL on the show. Did Matt Ryan get a raw deal when he was voted the 10th best player in the NFL? I make the case that Gordon Hayward in 2017 is better than Shaq from the 2006 Miami Heat championship squad. Plus, is it time for the Clippers to move on from Doc Rivers? Folks, of course it's time. They're detonating that team. Jerry West, the new sheriff, is in town. The point guard's gone. Okay? Doc Rivers might as well get out of there. This is a rebuilding effort. Folks, I would not be surprised if Blake Griffin did not return to the Clippers. I think that's the money move for him. Set up a nice life out here in L.A. But if he wants to compete for a title in the next 3 years, it ain't happening with the Clippers. Let's get to the show. Ready for Speak for Yourself? Take it away, Whitlock.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why the NFL would be better if Brett Favre made another comeback.
And I'm Christine Leahy in for Colin Cowherd. I'll tell you why John Calipari needs to make a comeback of his own. Speak for Yourself starts now.
Broussard looking crazy at me. Brett Favre in the NFL would be terrific. Coaching. All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and the founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Let's start right here in Los Angeles, where Doc Rivers says it bugs him that the Lob City era is done after the team agreed to trade Chris Paul to the Rockets. But reportedly, Doc's decision to bring in his son, Austin Rivers, had a lot to do with CP3's desire to leave. And the coach has been unable to deliver any real success since arriving 4 years ago. Listen, I think it's now time to move on from Doc Rivers. When Chris Paul, a guy that used to be all in with Doc Rivers, when he says enough is enough, why wouldn't Steve Ballmer and the Clippers and Clippers fans be like, enough's enough? Doc's taken him no farther than Vinny Del Negro. He's had a long opportunity, great reputation, but this is kind of a sideshow. It's time to move on.
Well, I think Doc deserves to keep his job as a coach. He's got the third best winning percentage in the NBA, second only to the Warriors and Spurs. And all the time, we see coaches get fired only to then be hired by another team and win coach of the year. So he is a very, very good coach. That said, as a GM, he's terrible. He's proven that he doesn't know what he's doing, and he brings in players that he is comfortable with, like former Celtics, a lot of them who haven't worked out. His own son, he knows his son's game, so he brings him in. What Doc is not great at is evaluating talent and looking at new talent, and it's getting in the way. It's hard enough to be a coach, then it's hard enough to be a GM and a coach, and it's even harder to be a father, a GM, and a coach, and it's just too much. I think he needs to just be the coach, at least for a year. Give him a shot.
I would be generous and give him a year to coach. Whether or not he deserves it, that's up for debate. If they kick him out of the door, fine. I mean, you were here 4 years. Our win percentage keeps going down. You haven't gotten any further than Vinny has. And let's face it, on paper, they were a super team. You got three all-stars and some good role players. Why haven't you gotten us further? I know they've had injuries. So I would maybe give him another year as coach. But you're not – Jerry West should be running that organization. Doc has created a culture there that's toxic. Ooh. Austin's just part of it. Austin's just part of it. He's not the, you know, biggest problem, but that's part of it. And then the coaching. I don't think he's done a great job coaching.
I think Doc sees the writing on the wall, guys. He's lost his power, right? You said Jerry West
well,
is in
not,
there.
No, he's not right, right now, Doc is still in
Jerry
charge.
Jerry West is making $5 million a year, reportedly, as an advisor.
Doc's making
he's
ten.
The guy in
Doc's
charge.
Doc's making 10.
Yeah, but Doc's also coaching.
Jerry's not in charge
kind of
yet.
Money to not give him power.
Yeah, Jerry West well, has
he'll
power.
Have it within a year. So Jerry West is not running it right now.
So Doc's lost his power, and he's lost his point guard. Chris Paul's out the door. If I'm Doc Rivers, I make a preemptive strike. I see the writing on the wall. You know who I call up? James Dolan. Hey, James, I played in New York point guard
no.
for a year.
He's not getting
another
coaching job
well,
right away.
Listen, if
that's
he's not getting a coaching job.
You definitely ain't bringing him in as a front office
well,
guy.
He needs no. to get out before they boot him
that's
out. You think he's gone?
Let him boot him and give him his money.
He
hey,
went
get,
to
get
go
fired?
Meet.
You want to yeah. just get canned?
Get your money.
Get your money.
You resign, you don't get your money.
With Orlando. And here's the problem I have with GMs that want power. You look at guys like Bill Belichick or Pop who have control over their roster. There's a difference. Doc wanted to be a GM and have that power. for ego. Those two wanted to be in power so that they could control the ingredients in the kitchen because they felt like they knew how to best utilize their roster.
And they allowed, Pop allows R.C. Buford to be the GM.
Totally.
You know, he now Doc's given more power to Lawrence Frank. But still, Lawrence is working the phones, you know. So Doc still obviously got the last say.
Listen, I'm a critic of Doc.
Doc's working the golf club.
Yeah.
I'm a critic of Doc, but I'm not going to go so far as to say he just wanted to be GM for ego while these guys wanted to run their team. Doc believes the hype that's written about him. He's, you know, he turned the Celtics around. He's a great coach. He's a genius. All the wonderful things we've said about Doc, I don't blame him for feeling like, yeah, I'm as smart as any of these other guys, and I can pick the team.
He plays the media well, right?
I don't think that's true.
Like a
heart. Oh, he's very good at playing
the media.
And I don't think that's true, because when he left the Celtics, he did it because he didn't want to be part of a
rebuild,
exactly. So he wanted to have control over what the direction was of the team. So he didn't want them to just gut the roster and start all over again.
No question, because remember, he was against the Kendrick Perkins trade.
Yes.
Remember when Danny Ainge traded Kendrick Perkins, Doc didn't want that to happen. So, and look, to be honest and fair to Doc, he earned the right. In today's NBA, he did earn the right to be a president and GM. I mean, Stan Van Gundy, other guys that haven't done nearly as much as him have gotten it. But he squandered that opportunity.
Stan Van Gundy never had
three in Orlando. You also have to be smart enough to see, okay, here are some of my weaknesses, and who can I bring in to help me fill those gaps? And Doc is a control freak. Yeah. He likes to say, hey, none of my assistant coaches can talk to the media. Nobody else can do this. Everything goes through me. And with that, you just can't win in the long run.
Listen, he had 4 years. It failed. Again, I agree with Chris's point. He earned this shot. He blew it. Time to move on.
If you're a NASCAR fan, there's a new podcast for you to subscribe to. Heritage Road, the podcast that drives you down memory lane, takes you under the hood, and gets you behind the wheel of America's favorite racing competition. They talk to the hardworking drivers, crewmen, and fans that made NASCAR possible then and now. From NASCAR royalty Bobby Allison to the broadcasters that brought racing into homes around the country, they've got all the stories you've probably never heard before. Hosted by the voice of Texas Motor Speedway, Rich Phillips. Brought to you by Busch, the beer that has supported racing since 1979. Subscribe to Heritage Road today for free wherever you listen to podcasts. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Chris Broussard and Jason McIntyre back. Let's return to the NBA, where Utah's Gordon Hayward has declined his player option and decided to test the free agent market. So far in his career, Hayward has been a good but largely unheralded player. Now, incredibly, the fate of major stars like Blake Griffin and Paul George, not to mention about a third of NBA teams, rest on where Hayward decides to sign. This is pretty incredible. If Gordon Hayward goes to Boston, he's basically going to change the entire outlook of next NBA season, because Paul George may follow him to Boston, and now there's a super team in Boston that's an actual rival for LeBron James. And I thought about this morning. I was like, are we making too much of Gordon Hayward? Is he really that high impact of a player that if he goes to Boston, he can reshape the NBA?
Right now he is, and I absolutely love it. I think if you look at some of the other teams that he could consider, they just don't make, like, do you see Gordon Hayward in Miami? No, we just don't. I think Boston makes so much sense, and he is so valuable to them. And I used to work for the Celtics, so take that for what it's worth, but I'm not being a homer here. I went to school there too, and I think this makes so much sense. I'm going to nerd out for a second, but Gordon Hayward loves gaming. That, I think, actually might be more important to him than basketball. He might kill me for saying that. Video gaming. He loves playing League of Legends, and please don't take that lightly. I think it's a very important thing to him. I know you're laughing at me, but it's huge. And if you look at the town of Boston, they're very technologically advanced. They've got schools like MIT. There's such an embrace that would happen with Gordon Hayward there, and I think he has an opportunity to really connect.
Be a professor there, maybe.
Yeah, with the community, and I think, I mean, you can just see him with the Celtics. Brad Stevens would be such a great thing. Then they could potentially get Paul George. I like this.
The question is he that good? He's a perennial all-star type player. He's getting better every year.
One all-star.
He's not, he will. He's developing into that. I think he'll make the all-star team now going forward if he goes to the East. But he is not, he'll be the third best player on Boston if that scenario comes to pass. Paul George, the best. Isaiah Thomas, second, and Gordon Hayward, third. He's not the best player on the market. Blake Griffin's better, but Blake's always hurt. So I'm fine. It's just timing. It's just that Boston thinks if they get him, he's obviously Brad Stevens' guy, you know, then they might be able to get Paul George. But it's not because he's the best player on the market.
He just screams fan favorite.
Yeah, they love him. I mean, he likes tennis.
In Boston,
he was like an accomplished
Utah,
tennis player.
Right?
What are you getting at?
No, we're going to get a fan favorite in Miami.
We're going to get there.
I'm fine with it. He's a white star. He would be great in Utah. He would be great in Boston.
Before we get
it's real. Real quick,
but I want to go back to that real quick.
On Gordon Hayward, you said he could be number three. I believe he can be the number two star on a team. Who was Dirk's number two when the Mavs won the title?
That's a rarity.
Who
That's
was Dwayne
aberration.
Wade's number two when
Shaq.
They, okay, and Gordon Hayward
Shaq.
Averaged more than Shaq did that year.
Oh, come
Gordon Hayward just averaged
So now we're judging everything by points. First of all, Shaq was 20-11.
Hayward.
Don't get on national TV and compare Gordon Hayward to Shaquille
you
O'Neal.
You just said Shaq averaged 20.
Are you serious?
Gordon Hayward, or Shaq at what, 34?
God.
Versus Gordon Hayward at 27? I'm sorry. Gordon Hayward right now is the number one free agent target that Whitlock said at the outset.
Forgive him, America.
This isn't Shaq
Blake. Don't throw him out.
There's a second layer to this conversation. There's a second layer to this that Broussard has hinted at. I actually think it would be an excellent move for the NBA to have a white star on the Celtics and have them vying for championships. That would be great for the NBA. Let's keep it all the way 100. When Larry Bird was a star in Boston, the NBA did real well pitting him against Magic Johnson. And so if they could get Boston back with Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward, that would be awesome for the NBA.
Let me ask you this, though. Does Paul George then want to go there if Gordon Hayward's going to be the prodigal son of Boston and he's now the white superstar, as you're saying?
I don't think Gordon Hayward's not in Larry Bird's class, okay?
No.
So I don't think Hayward would be the star. He would be a star. But Paul George would be the star. And Isaiah, I mean, not just the great individual season he had last year, but, you know, the family tragedy he had.
Size.
He would still be huge. His size, too.
Very popular.
So Hayward, it wouldn't be a Larry Bird type thing, but it would be. He's a white all-star in Boston. I think it'd be great, but he wouldn't be the face of the team.
You think he's leaving Utah, just to go back?
Yeah, I do think he's leaving Utah.
You don't?
I think he's staying. I think he will stay.
Why?
I just think they're a team
that's... Because he's better than Shaq.
They're a team that's ascending right now in the West.
Remember, ascending to what?
Well, the Clippers just fell off. They were tied with the Jazz.
So the Clippers aren't the mountain you have to climb, buddy.
Yeah.
All right?
No, Warriors first, obviously, right? Spurs second, and I believe the Jazz are ahead of the Houston Rockets.
And so what? He's going to stay in Utah so they can be the third best
exactly.
team in the West. Rather than go to Boston and potentially be the best team in the East.
Wait, they're better than the Cavs now.
He and Paul George and Isaiah Thomas and Brad Stevens,
they
got a shot.
They're in the discussion.
If they get Paul George, which...
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, his daughter's already...
Wow, you guys are penciling...
Hot take, Matt.
Hayward, is he going to wear Larry's 33 or is it?
No.
He can't wear the 33.
You know, you remember the show MASH?
Sure.
Hot takes?
Yes.
This is Hot Takes. It's from MASH.
Gordon Hayward's the man.
All right, to Egypt. Yes, Egypt, where John Calipari appears to be having a blast at the pyramids, but still took the time to deny a report that he had reached out to the Knicks about their front office vacancy. Calipari tweeted, quote, "No one has contacted Knicks on my behalf. I am the coach at Kentucky and will be for a long time. Even in Egypt, I can't escape the rumors. Are you kidding me? It's 5 in the morning here, and this is what I wake up to." Yeah, I that's a strong denial. I'll be the coach of Kentucky for a long time. I believe John Calipari. I believe this would be a nightmare scenario for Calipari to go from a college coach to the front office of the Knicks. Why? That sounds bizarre and crazy. I don't think Calipari has any interest in this. Would he perhaps go to the NBA for $10 million a year to coach some team? Maybe. But to leave Kentucky and that system and thing he set up to go run a franchise that is ruining a lot of guys with bigger reputations than him, no dice.
I don't think it's very easy for a coach, a college coach, to coach in the NBA, because in college you're used to mentoring guys, developing them. They listen to what you want to do. And then we're a coach in the NBA, we saw with Rick Pitino. It just doesn't work. Guys don't want to listen to you. It's a players-driven league, so that doesn't work. I do think it can be a success when he's the president. He has a lot of credibility. He can win over a room. That is exactly what the Knicks need right now. He's also very comfortable with recruiting. He also dealt with a lot of scholarships, numbers. So maybe that is a position that would fit him. Do we have that picture of him? There's a picture of him over here. He looks very New York in that pinstriped suit. So I think it just fits.
He was in New York. Now, it was the New Jersey Nets, but I covered the team when he was there for the New York Times, and it was disastrous. And all that college shtick. Because he's a great college coach. But all that, you know, that works with
recruiter, right?
That works with young kids. And it worked with a few young guys in the NBA. But the veterans were like, they got to get him out of here. So, look, I hear what you're saying as far as would Kyle want to redeem himself? He was in that market and failed. I'm sure that bothers him that he failed at the NBA level. Maybe we'll want to change it. But I think from a Knicks standpoint, go with a more traditional hire. Get a real GM or president. Don't go with the celebrity hire to win the back page, Phil Jackson, Isaiah Thomas. Go with somebody that's been grinding, and I think that'll be better for the franchise.
I think Whitlock's right. He has unfinished business in the NBA, for sure. I do want to say, though, some college coaches have had success.
Brad Stevens
in Boston. He's already a top five
coach.
He's
got a young team, though.
But is Kentucky right now a better job than president of the New York Knicks? He runs the university, essentially. That basketball team has free reign. He gets any recruit he wants. I would say Kentucky is a better job right now than the Knicks. The mess that they have to clean up, that's like a 3 or 4 year job. Right now, I mean, you got two young guys. Melo's on his way out. You got a lot of bad contracts. I don't think Calipari could handle that.
Whoever rebuilds the Knicks is going to get mad praise. Like Pat Riley. Yes. He didn't even get them to a championship, but he just made them competitive and relevant again, and everybody still remembers that era. I think the right person can do that, because I like Nila Quinta. The rookie draft pick from France. And Porzingis, obviously, now he should stay. So I think they have some pieces to work with.
Think about this. They can add the pieces. Just bring in everyone who used to coach at Kentucky, right?
We've been hearing this for 17 years, since they booted Patrick Ewing. Whoever rebuilds the Knicks is going to be a genius. They've barely been to the playoffs
Listen,
the last two decades.
If I'm the Knicks, if I were trying to make some big splash hire, and I'm tampering probably wouldn't even allow what I'm suggesting, but there is a coach out there that I would try to, that I would say, you know what, he could be the next Pat Riley. And that would be Greg Popovich. If Popovich ever gets tired of coaching, that would be a guy, I would give him a shot to be the president of my team. And again, it takes someone, Pat Riley to me, cut from a lot of the same cloth as Greg Popovich. And if I'm Popovich, again, Dolan and these, they'll cut a huge check and give him a 3 or 4 year run as the president of a team. I would make
Pop's
that kind of.
Think Pop's gonna go to New York
and listen to James
that's the
Dolan?
Only problem.
James Dolan's the big problem.
No, why would he leave the Spurs to go to New York?
Yeah,
it's Mount Everest. Well, no, it's another challenge.
Popovich is a cultured guy. Talks about wine and restaurants all the time. He will love New York. The problem is Dolan. You could argue he is the worst owner in professional sports right
now.
You can seriously make that argument.
And I'm not one to defend James Dolan, but I will say this: he is an owner that he lets the people do what they want to do. He let Phil Jackson have free reign.
He gave him all the rope to hang himself. That's what he did.
But, that's what you want from an owner. Yeah. If he's willing to spend money and let you do your job, that's what you want.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're joined by two Super Bowl champions, Eric Davis and Seth Joyner. Let's move to the NFL, where Matt Ryan was just voted the 10th best player in the NFL, according to the NFL Network's annual survey of players. The rank may seem like an honor, but Ryan is coming off an MVP year in which he posted the fourth highest passer rating in NFL history and had the Falcons one dumb play call away from a Super Bowl win. Not only that, Ryan didn't even make the top 100 the year before. But if you look at Ryan's career, he has the most completions and passing yards and the third most touchdowns of any player through his first 9 seasons of their career. Matt Ryan is great. Matt Ryan, I have no problem with him being in the top 10. Probably should be in the top 5. People don't understand. He's had a steady ascension and now has reached elite status. If they had run the ball and taken care of business in that Super Bowl, he would have a Super Bowl trophy, an MVP, and everybody be saying, man, he's right there right now. Maybe the best quarterback in the league right now.
What?
And if you're the best quarterback in the league, you're damn sure one of the top 5 players.
Yeah, my face says exactly what your face says.
Wow.
Look, he is a great player. He is a great quarterback. But there are only 2 quarterbacks ranked above him in this list, and that is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So you're really telling me that Matt Ryan should be above those 2?
I think one of those 3 quarterbacks you just mentioned was considered the MVP of the league last year.
And that's a really good season. That means he had a really good season. That
right.
doesn't mean he's the best player in the league. He had an MVP caliber season. A couple of years ago, Cam Newton had an MVP caliber. Well, hold on. But he was the MVP of the league.
Yes.
And is he the top quarterback? So what you're just saying, based on this list, because he had an MVP year season on the field, that makes him the overall best player. Last year, Matt Ryan was ranked behind Jay Cutler.
He wasn't even ranked last year.
I'm talking about his actual play on the field. His stats, his percentages were lower than Jay Cutler's.
Did you miss what I said about his first 9 seasons?
He's
got a body of work.
There's nothing wrong with 10.
But you know what you missed?
What?
Okay, he was 18-30 between 2013 and 2015.
Well, let me check my calendar. 2017 right now.
It doesn't matter, though, because when the players are the ones that vote on this, okay? It's kind of like, let me see it again. Do it again, and then we'll move you up. I think 10 is respectable. You know,
exactly.
If he would have won the Super Bowl, if Shanahan would have made the right calls, then he'd probably be higher on the list. But right now, if I'm him, I'd happy with being right there. He's got a great supporting cast around him. He's got a great defense around him. All of those things come into play.
Matt Ryan's not the best player on his team. Uh-oh. That's Julio Jones.
Uh-oh.
So he's not the best. So I don't know how much higher you want
to
put him.
I'm not going to disagree with that argument. But one of them plays quarterback and one of them plays wide receiver. And the position you play impacts the value to the team.
Agreed.
And to
agreed.
The sport.
But Julio Jones gives you 110 yards a game like the last 4 or 5 years in a row. So that greatly impacts the way that Matt Ryan can play. And he does it no matter who they put on him. And he shows up week in and week out. And Matt Ryan doesn't necessarily always do that. And remember, these are the players.
The year before, there were 15 quarterbacks on that list. Matt Ryan wasn't even on it. So as you guys said, and I think this is interesting, you guys are the ones who vote on who makes this list. Mm-hmm. When you're a player voting, what goes into it? And are you biased at all?
I think a lot of times it comes down to a level of consistency. You're going to see Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Those guys are always going to be right there in the top 5 unless they fall off dramatically from a playing perspective, because they're always at the top as far as quarterbacks are concerned. If you go back to 2015, Matt Ryan did not have a good year. So it's almost like Cam. You know, where did Cam fall in all of this? Because, you know, he had a phenomenal year, took his team to the Super Bowl, lost. He's the number one guy.
You know, some of it is perception, I have to say, because Matt Ryan, like you say, he didn't have a good year. He probably threw for 4,500 yards. That's nothing to sneeze at. But we're still what I'm just trying to get at is that they're saying number 10. There's nothing wrong with number 10. I think you're just trying to say since he was the MVP, he should be number 1.
No. Here's what I'm saying. Let's go back to last year, when he wasn't one of the top 15 quarterbacks according to this list. I would have been a person saying, man, y'all crazy. This dude is capable of having an MVP-type year with that offense. I think he's one of the handful of 5 best quarterbacks in the league. And if he continues on his path, I see him right there with Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And he delivered on that. And so now what I'm saying is, don't be surprised if he does it again.
Oh, no, I believe that.
If he's MVP again this year and they have a record-setting offense, and if he does that, because that's what I'm betting on, he'll be right there in the MVP hunt. No one will question, is he right there with Brady and Rodgers at this point?
That's exactly what this vote is saying. show me again, and then we'll move you up.
Yeah, it's respect for right now. It's like it's like the Emmys or any award show, right? Like you just make your way in, you get nominated, that's some respect, and it's like, okay, next year maybe you can win. Dude, not your first year.
Number 10.
I'm ahead of the coach.
Out of 1,700 guys.
It's often time like the Pro Bowl. You never get voted in the year you should have got voted in. It's always the year after.
Tell me about it. I'm still mad.
To a quarterback who gets a ton of respect, Brett Favre, the Packers legend, has been out of the NFL since 2010, but now says he's open to coming back as a coach or general manager, saying, quote, I feel like that if I don't coach or work at that level in some point in my life, that I'm going to waste a lot of knowledge that I have that I should be using it with kids or adults at the NFL level. I got to say, football's better when Brett Favre's involved.
And
he's great television. He's a huge personality. He was a great teammate. I used to make fun of John Madden, how much he loved Brett Favre, until the very end of his career. And I was like, damn, this dude just loves this game. Brett Favre should be involved in football. Even if he turned out to be a train wreck as a head coach, I would love to see it happen. I would love to chronicle
that. You're
going
to subject a team to having to deal with him as their head coach?
He would be awesome. He loves the game and knows the game.
Indecisive guy ever. He started talking about retirement in 2002. You know when he retired? 8 years later. That guy had no idea what he was doing. He even joked that he didn't know the plays. And I will just say this. He clearly does not know how to operate his cell phone in the best interest of the team.
Oh, that's wrong. You're wrong for that.
Ooh. Ooh, I love you, Brett.
Shots fired.
Hey. Listen, I would say, I played with Brett for a year, played against him many times. And Brett is one of the most fun-loving guys. It's hard for me to picture him as the face of a franchise. But I do believe with his intellect, with his ability to play the game and what he understands and knows about the game, what he learned from Andy Reid, what he learned from Mike Holmgren, that he is leaving something on the table if he doesn't come back and help some guys. Now, I still have a problem with how he handled Aaron Rodgers, by not helping him along, because that's what veterans do, saying it's not my job, to help this guy become the best that he can be. I have a problem with that. But I think he's past that. He's beyond that. And I think he would be a great quarterback's coach. I think he'd be a great offensive coordinator in the passing game, because he clearly understands that. The guy just threw the ball all over the mat throughout his career. I think he'd be great in that role.
I think his understanding of the game, you're right, he has some things that he could bring to a team. I don't see him as a head coach. I really don't see that, because I think part of the things that you're talking about, just like the not teaching Aaron Rodgers aspect of things, maybe he is past that. But I think playing the game is so technical. Everyone thinks about, the fun and the ability that he had to just make things happen, that gunslinger's mentality. Well, you can't teach that. And I think he's so great at what he did and the way he did it, I think he would have a difficult time coaching someone in that aspect. But I do what you say as far as his understanding of the game and being a passing game coordinator, being the type guy that can sit in the room and hopefully get that across to some guys. I think he could help in some aspects of it. But I think his approach, because coaching is teaching, so you got to be able to get it out of your head into the butts in the seats. And the way he did it, I don't know if you can explain that to the next guy.
And to be a coach, you either have it or you don't. It's a leadership skill. So he had the opportunity, if he wanted to be a coach and really help Aaron Rodgers, and he chose not to. So I don't know how you can just turn on that switch to internally feel like I want to be a leader and be helping other
Time can do some of that, because at the time, I think that was a threat to him.
Well, absolutely. But I don't think you're a successful quarterback in the NFL without having those leadership qualities. So it's in there. Now, his ability to communicate it on many different levels, because you've got to be able to do that with players. Some players learn in a multiple ways, and can you, as a quarterback coach or offense coordinator, go to a guy and explain it in a way that he can understand it? That would be a major question.
Look, to me, the Aaron Rodgers thing can be explained by when a guy with that much talent shows up and he plays your position, he don't need no help from me. this guy's more talented than I. It's not the right thing to do, but I'm just saying I understand.
You know how many times as eighth round draft pick, they try to draft somebody and bring him in to steal my job, and he was assigned to me to take him under my wing? I taught him everything I knew, taught him the offense, however he could learn it. Bring it on.
As a competitor,
you don't worry about that because he might play, but he ain't playing my position.
Part of being a vet, especially with an organization like the Green Bay Packers that is established and it's about winning championships, you know that part of being a vet is to teach the next guy how to take your job. Exactly. That's how teams continue to grow and sustain that level. And that's a major part of it.
Let me give you one last point in Brett's favor, and because we've talked around it. We've turned the NFL into a classroom, and he's got to be a professor and blah, blah, blah. The NFL and football, a lot of it has to do with emotion and passion and just wanting to play the game, wanting to do the hard work that it takes to play the game. Mm-hmm. And a coach has to be able to inspire you. That's, again, they have. Can he run through a brick wall?
No,
yes,
no.
Yes.
A coach's job is not to motivate me. A coach's job is to teach me.
To motivate you.
No. The coach's job is not to motivate any player. His job at the professional level is to teach them eye progression, hand placement, reads, and knowing
position
exactly what it is
coaches.
You're supposed to do. That is the job of a coach.
Position coaches.
Well, he has to do that before he becomes a head coach.
There are some teams.
You got to lead a chalkboard in front of a room before you make it to the head coach.
There are some teams and some coaches that teach that way, but the great teams that I played on, when I went to Green Bay my second to last year and Denver, my last year, there was a certain level that you were expected to play to. And if you didn't play to that level, bye-bye.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast. I am your host, Jason McIntyre. Folks, I told you it was going to be lit. What a fun Friday that was. This is going to be a bananas weekend. We could see Gordon Hayward on the move. Blake Griffin could be going somewhere. Paul George may be getting traded. I am as excited for NBA free agency tomorrow as I was for the NBA Finals. Seriously, that's how geeked I am. All right, everybody have a fun, safe weekend. We will see you on Monday.